Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. Only on PRN, Progressive Radio Network. The only place where you'll get trends that are changing socially, economically, and politically, history before it happens. So here we are, right near Inauguration Day. Before I talk about that, because that's what everyone's talking about, I want to do a little bit of economics. And here's the story. Gold. Gold now is back above $1,200 an ounce. $1,215.60 as we speak. Very important. And as you well know, on Progressive Radio Network, or if you're a subscriber to the Trends Journal, trendsresearch.com, you know that we said gold was near the bottom. It was down in that 1150 range. Didn't have much more to go. One of the reasons why we say that, there are two fundamental ones. One, it cost about $1,100 to pull the stuff out of the earth on average. So they're not going to pull it out if it's not worth it. And number two is foreign demand for physical gold. One of the reasons why gold prices are back up now is to preparing for the Chinese New Year. And they exchange gold gifts. Same thing in India, particularly during the wedding season. So physical demand is not going to dry up. And all things are connected. And one of the trends that we talk about quite often is the cashless society. Matter of fact, it's one of our top trends for 2017. Just like they did over there in India. Yes, you wake up one day and they say, hey, you got to turn in 86% of all that cash out there. Right, we're putting out new bills. And it's caused a chaotic condition, particularly among the poor people. Point being, how they could change the game in one day. So what would you rather be holding? Those rupees that you got to turn in, or gold? Let's take a trip down to Mexico, south of the border, down Mexico way. Look at what's going on with that peso. Phew. That is a cheap place to live if you're holding bucks. What would you rather be having in your pocket, or in your bank? Or in your vault, I should say. That's the primary one. Would you rather be holding pesos that are at record lows, or holding gold that you bought years ago? Or in Turkey, with the Turkish lira now at all-time lows, down over 10% since Donald Trump has been elected. Would you be rather holding gold? And as we look at the socioeconomic conditions here in the States and the divisiveness among people and parties with the election of Donald Trump, you think there's going to be any volatility out there? Of course there will. So what would you rather be holding? Paper or gold? So we remain bullish, and we don't give investment advice, and we remain bullish on gold for the fundamental reason that it is the greatest of safe haven assets from since recorded history of modern times, being, you know, back in the days when Jesus was chasing people out of that temple, the money changers out, you know. Yeah, so gold's been around a long time. It's not going anywhere. So that's how we view this picture. And as for the economy, I've made this very clear a number of times. We're more optimistic about the economy in terms of potential growth, not in terms of how it's going to help individuals. In the greater scheme, it will, but it will enrich the already rich, and it will also generate more economic growth overall under the Trump proposals that we're beginning to see. So it'll be excellent for corporations. It's a bonanza. They're getting tax breaks. They're going to get deregulation. Am I in favor of deregulation? Some places, yes. Some places, no. When it comes to the banking sector, I want to see more regulation. I want to see a reinstitution of the Glass-Steagall Act. I want to see the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act put back in place that allowed we, the little people, to compete. Totally against the person he picked for the environment. I want more environmental legislation, not stupid little legislation, but important legislation that protects us. I never get into the discussions of climate change or global warming. All I say is if you dump trillions of tons of poison into the earth, into the water, and into the air, do you think it's going to cause a problem? So those are different issues. On the political, geopolitical issue, yeah, you know, if let's pretend that Obama wasn't the liar that he is, and that he was elected on the platform that he sold the people. Hope and change you could believe in, folks. So he gets into office and he starts saying things like, the intelligence agencies are too political. They're doing a lousy job and they have to be broken down. We're wasting a lot of money. We got to stop this. What would the liberals do if Trump said that? Really? Boy, would they be happy. Would they be happy? But when Trump says it, that doesn't mean anything. So those are the kind of things that I support in this administration. I told you something I don't. But when I look at the Obama administration, there's nothing virtually that I supported. Of course, you do know that last week, when everybody was sleeping, Obama signed into law a new law giving those intelligence agencies even more rights to rob us of our privacy. Where are all you liberals? Hey, Michael Moore, you got a big mouth. How come you're quiet on that one, Junior? Got lockjaw? Meryl Streep? How come you're not talking about Obama robbing us of more of our rights by signing into law, giving the NSA and all of those other, quote, intelligence agencies that Trump wants to shrink more power to look into our private lives. Where are you, liberal loudmouths? You hypocritical little people. Guess it passed you by, huh? Oh, by the way, if you have any questions about the economy, about geopolitics or economics or anything else, and you'd like to call in, the PRN call number is 888-874-4888. A lot of eights in there. 888-874-4888. Remember when I was a kid, they used to have these ads, you know, with the commercials on TV. And to call in and buy it, call Murray Hill 6-8400. When I grew up in the Bronx, it was Olinville. That was our thing. And Woodbine, and Greenwood, when we moved to Yonkers. Yeah. Anyway. So the hypocrisy coming out is quite disgusting, that they don't have the courage to call out their liar in chief, and what a liar he is. Lied his way in, lying his way out. Hey, folks, I'm Barack Obama. Oh, what else don't I like about Trump? Well, I don't like that he brought in a whole return of the Goldman Sachs gang back into the White House. Don't dig those cats. Too many of them. And I don't see anybody from We the People into his administration, which is why we're going to launch a campaign. Salenti. That's right. Gerald Salenti for Secretary of Trends and Consequences. Because that's what trend forecasting is. For every action, there's a reaction. So what we do is we look at the reaction to the actions that they're taking, and to see what they're doing is either on trend or off trend. So if you're going to do something, what will be the implications? Because that's all trend forecasting is. We're all doing in our lives what we're doing because of decisions that we've made, right or wrong. And then there are the wild cards. But think about it. Your life is what it is because of the decisions that you've made, and then there are the wild cards that nobody can predict. That's why I don't call myself a futurist. So Gerald Salenti for Secretary of Trends, a new cabinet position. Because here's the deal. I could out-Trump Trump on trends, pip, day or night. And I would suggest humbly just about anybody else, because I'll put my track record of written words and spoken words and books and magazines, the Trends Journal, of course, against anybody in the world. I am the most qualified person to be U.S. Secretary of Trends in this new administration. And I won't be there as a Republican or a Democrat, as a political atheist. I don't do that trip. So, I'll be for the people, we the people, Secretary of Trends, and you're going to hear more about it. Hey, we got Bruce from Tennessee. Hello there, Bruce.
Hello, Gerald, and it's great to speak with you. I've got a couple of opinions, and I'd like to share them with you and see what your thoughts are on it. In the fall of 2014, the Social Security Administration announced that there would be no increase in the payments to the recipients that year. And the reason given was for low oil prices. In 2016, saw no increase either. And for the year of this year, 2017, I received a paltry $1 increase. My question is, what is the correlation between oil prices and Social Security payments? How did the Social Security Administration know that the price of the barrel of oil would be in the close and distant future to warrant that statement?
What happened was that the way we got shafted with the, as you mentioned, Social Security is based on cost of living increase, which means how much inflation. So Bill Clinton made up all fake metrics, algorithms, and standards to measure inflation. All those liberals, by the way, that love your Clintons and miss them that they're not in there now, those are the people that shafted us. I'm in the same position. They made up a bunch of phony information so that they keep the CPI number very low. And that's all it is. It's a fraud. That's why you don't understand it, because it makes no sense. So the other things, for example, under the Obama administration, since he's been in, corporate profits have increased 166%. Wages are up the grand total of 3.4%. So that means, okay, you're buying less steak, and now you're buying chopped meat. That's okay. That's not measured. So what I'm saying is, the poorer we get, the higher inflation goes, they keep changing the metrics so that they keep the real inflation, the fake real inflation number low. That's the whole story. So we got Richard from Richmond.
Hello. Are you there?
I'm here, Richard.
All right. I have a serious question for you. I've been reading all these Trump tweet articles in Wall Street journals and Forbes, and I'm just wondering what your opinion is on should I be using the algos on Trump tweets to figure out my financial future. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, actually, look what this guy does when he says something about Big Pharma. Oh, by the way, that's another one. Wouldn't you say, Richard, that the liberals should be plotting? Could you imagine if you know, Obama said we got to stop Big Pharma from raping us and charging us these ridiculous prices? But look what he did to the stock. So every time he opens his mouth or tweets something, poof, there goes your stock, but only a temporary move. But yeah, we've never seen anything like this. Here's my suggestion. I do truly believe that once he gets into office, he's going to be so overwhelmed that we're going to start seeing a cutback on the tweets. I also believe that after the inauguration, we're going to start seeing a shift in the media. And think about it. All we've been hearing about since Election Day is the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. We heard it even before. Trump is Putin's puppet, Hitler said.
Oil.
And then, of course, the vote recount. And then, of course, the Electoral College. And back to Russia. That's going to change. And, you know, I said I'm not, you know, thrilled with the Goldman Sachs gang that he's brought back into the White House. However, what the positive element is, if, and that is they renegotiate these trade deals on behalf of we the people, that's a big positive. Because I'd want these kind of guys out there doing my work in this field. This is who they are. These are ruthless business people, And if they have to negotiate with other ruthless business people in other countries to bring back jobs, which can be done, that's the other fallacy, that they can't, we can't bring back jobs. Look what General Motors announced. Look what one company after another announcing they're going to be creating more jobs here. You know, those are positives. We shouldn't throw them away. And Ford and Chrysler. So that's why some of those cats in the bringing into the White House and the Goldman Sachs gang, if they have to negotiate with China, Japan, and others, yeah, bring them on in. You know, they're the guys that are going to, you know. And we could be a self-sustaining economy. That was one of our top trends for 2016. 98% of our clothing comes from overseas. We could make another 30% here.
Well, we need to make more pink yarn, Gerald. We're running out of pink yarn down here in Charlottesville, Virginia. All the crybaby liberals, everybody's knitting their pussy hats, and it's, I don't know, it's like a yarn crisis. We need to start making the yarn here. I love all your commentary on the crybabies and the liberals. It's just really, it's pretty refreshing, I got to say.
Thank you. And it's refreshing talking with you. And you're right, they're making these hats. This is a disgrace. And you know what the disgrace is, Richard? And that is, where are these people when Obama's slaughtering thousands of people with his drone strikes?
No, you hit the nail on the head on that one. I hadn't even thought of that. That is so, that really hits it hard. Where were they?
Where are they? We launched Occupy Peace here. We had Ralph Nader, Gary Null, Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Robert Thurman. We closed down the streets. We got no support from any of the peace groups, from any of the women's groups.
Yeah.
Well, where are they?
We need
as
more,
now
we need
over 10,000 people are being slaughtered in Yemen, and Obama's giving them the bombs to do it. Where are they?
No, you don't.
So that's the problem. But the other part of it is they go now. Here's a positive, by the way. Under Obama, we didn't have a balance, a check and balance, because all the little liberals were too gutless to call the guy that they loved a murderer and a thief. Remember, he was going to also put into jail all those bankers that robbed us. And they didn't bring one of them to justice. So they don't have the courage. But now, with Trump there, we may see a counterbalance movement, possibly even on issues that matter. So, for example, in the environmental issue, Obama did next to nothing other than stealing $500 million of our dollars and giving it to his buddies in Solander so they could steal it and rob it from us, fill their pockets with us, and give us back crap, zero, nothing. Folks, so now what they'll do is possibly form a counter movement for positive changes that the Trump administration won't do. So let's say, for example, Trump keeps shooting his mouth off about going to war with Iran. Now all of a sudden, all of those peace groups that would not support us for OccupyPeace.us. Anybody can go to the website, OccupyPeace.us. There's never been a peace movement like the one we put together. Maybe these courageous little people will start a movement if Trump becomes a warmonger like Obama. Oh, by the way, all you pink knitters out there, as Richard calls them, or a phrase, not his phrase, but as he puts it into perspective, that they're knitting their hats there. How about Obama sending 4,000 troops into Poland, huh? Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Where are you, Michael Moore? You remember Michael Moore begging Ralph Nader not to run so that Al Gore could win? Why does anybody listen to this guy? He's nothing more than a Democratic flack. Democratic Party. They've abandoned the people. Poof. And they still believe it. Gutless. Hey, and talking about gutless people on a bigger level, or just at a different level, how about those gutless clowns over in Davos? Can't make this stuff up. Can't make it up. This is a story from the toilet paper of record, the New York Times. Not ancient history. 1/16/2007. So I'm not real good at math, but that was 2 days ago. How Davos brings the global elite together. Isn't that nice? And it goes on, the story. Blah, 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 blah. Most of the events center on talking. But beyond lectures and panel discussions, the agenda also features more, you ready for this word? Esoteric attractions. One notable event, now pay attention, is a simulation of a refugee's experience where Davos attendees crawl on their hands and knees and pretend to flee from advancing armies. It is one of the most popular events of the year, of every year. That's a quote from the New York Times. Simulating a refugee's experience by these little boys and girls getting down on their hands and knees and crawling on the ground. Well, that ground is probably nice carpeted floors. To pretend to flee from advancing armies. Can you imagine this? Could you imagine such stupidity? Disgusting spectacle of such small-minded rich people pretending? Oh, you're a Syrian. That Obama gave all those money to those moderate rebels, about $1 billion of our bucks, to slaughter innocent people. Or Iraq. Or Afghanistan. Bombs away. Bombs away. Destroying your house, your neighborhood, your city. Entire areas, killing millions of people. Imagine, we're going to pretend that we're on our hands and knees and fleeing from advancing armies as your mother and father are blown to bits. The house that you lived in is gone. The soldiers are raping your sisters. That's the sickness that's going on. Those are the same people, Richard, that are knitting them pink hats, the same people. Where are they? Where are they with the outrage that the United States is doing in Mosul? Oh, but when Aleppo was being bombed, trying to get the terrorists out of there that the United States supported. It was front page news in the New York slime every day. But a city nearly twice the size in Mosul, Iraq, slaughtering all those people with bombs away by the USA, killed about another 40 this week of reported ones. Hospitals blown up. That doesn't make the New York slime. No, no, no. These are the people that are running the world, the Davos crowd, crawling on their hands and knees, pretending to flee from terrorists. And who are these people? Well, you saw the latest report from Oxfam that just came out. According to the report, the 8 richest people in the world now have the equivalent wealth to the poorest half of the world's population put together. Isn't that nice, huh? And moreover, it also says that the 10 biggest corporations now have greater earnings than 180 governments combined. Oh, you know, I forgot, before I was talking about Big Pharma and Trump saying they're getting away with too much. You remember the guy that allowed Big Pharma to get bigger by advertising on TV? That wasn't allowed, you know, until 1997, when Slick Willie Clinton let them do it. Yep. So anyway, big corporations getting bigger, and of course, that's because of multinationalization. Big Bill Clinton push, and of course Reagan, and others. And the dismantling of the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act, that did not allow this. Folks, yep. There's nothing more Davos than a billionaire's camp. And the hypocrisy of all of this, particularly the New York slime, these arrogant people. No one in the mainstream media talks about the cause and effect of how the refugee problem was created. So here you are. You're living in New York. And we got a president over there in another country that had a run-in with Trump. Or they need some of our natural resources. And they say, you know, this Trump is a madman. And if you don't believe me that he's a madman, they got all those people knitting them pink hats. And the Michael Moores and the Hollywoods, the Katz and Backs and the Spielbergs. You don't believe me? Believe Clooney. Believe De Niro. Believe Springsteen, Jay-Z, and Beyonce. This man, Trump, is a dangerous man, this guy from another big country says. And he's holding weapons of mass destruction. We're not safe with a madman like him. We have to get rid of Trump, this cat from another country says. Because, you know, maybe they're running out of natural resources, or they got some weapons they need to sell to keep their military-industrial complex going. So they need to start a war against the United States, and they got a character here that'll out Saddam Hussein any day, Jack. He could go over bin Laden in a flash. Foop. I got a Trump to go to. Oh, boy. Hey, it's not only we here in this country over there that don't like Trump. Even the people in his own country don't like him. He's going into office with the lowest popularity rating in modern history. We gotta get rid of him. Our future isn't safe with him. With his hand on the nuclear button. Let's suppose this was happening week after week, month after month, year after year, warning us of this narcissistic Trump, a madman out of control. We got to get rid of him. He's holding on to these. He has his finger on the button of the biggest nuclear arsenal in the world. And our future isn't safe. And again, me, the leader of this country overseas, isn't only saying that. Even the people in his country are trying to get rid of him. They didn't even want him to get into office. So, going back to Davos and the refugee crisis, cause and effect, destroying entire countries. So now, this country over there starts bombs away over New York. First shot, Trump Tower, and all of New York City. We're getting all those Trump buildings that his old man built out there near Coney Island. Boom, there goes Brooklyn. Poof, out of sight, Queens. Yeah, leave Staten Island alone. Imagine a foreign country blowing our nation into destruction because Gaddafi has to go, because Assad has to go, because Hussein has to go. And that bin Laden, he's a bad man, and he's up there over in Afghanistan. So if he's over there, we have to destroy that country and occupy it for 16 years. No one talks about the cause and effect. Would you be a refugee? Would you be trying to leave your country if another country came here and bombed the hell out of it? And hey, you may get a cat in another country that has a good excuse, had a rub in with Trump. Maybe he did a dirty business deal with him and wants to get even. The hypocrisy of the Davos and the major media. In March 2011, the first wave of a human tsunami washed ashore. Tens of thousands of desperate refugees fleeing North Africa and the Middle East made landfill fall in the nearest Italian port. By mid-April, the United Nations reported that more than 500,000 people had fled Libya in the preceding 2 months, and that the pace of the exodus was picking up. Trends Journal, Spring 2011. That's forgotten. That's what we wrote. 2011, because Obama said Gaddafi has to go. But where were you liberals, you pink knitting hat liberals? Where was your outrage? Oh, the pink hats, right. Because women are so much more peaceful than men. The Libyan war brought to you by Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice. I'm tired of people playing the gender card. I'm tired of them playing the race card. Greatness comes in all races, creeds, and colors, and regardless of gender. And slime comes in all races, creeds, and colors, and regardless of gender. But boy, are they playing the gender card now. Where were all you women knitting those pink hats when Obama was dropping bombs on innocent people? Where are you as he keeps killing people with his drone strikes and massacring those in Mosul? Where are you? Ah, you're busy knitting. Ah, disgusting. Disgusting. That's what they're doing in Davos. The rich are getting richer. So, yeah, it's some of the not so good news. And when we talk about the New York Times getting dumber and smaller and running these huge photos in every page because they have nothing to write, here's the headline. New York Times study calls for rapid change as a newsroom. Means they're going to shrink it. The report comes at a particularly sobering time for the legacy media industry. The steep and continuous decline of high-margin print advertising has led to significant financial challenges for most newspapers, which in turn are cutting costs and trying to find new revenue sources. News organizations, including the Wall Street Journal and Gannett, have made significant cuts in staffing. The Journal is currently conducting a newsroom review similar to that of the Times called Wall Street Journal 2020. Among the other recommendations in the Times report were reducing duplicative layers of articles, editing, and having visual experts play the primary role of covering some stories. Hey, isn't that a great line? Isn't that a perfect New York slime prostitute line? You ready for this? Visual experts play, quote, the primary role of covering some stories. What did I say before I even read this? You pick up the New York slime now, and it's these big pictures that cover almost a half a page. Oh, yes, a picture's worth a thousand words. Dumber and dumber, the dumbing down of news. And while they cut costs, they don't cut the price. Do you know what the New York slime cost on a Sunday? $6. And I get these things delivered every day. I have to read this stuff. And it's getting harder and harder for me to find good information, by the way, because we don't have reporters. We don't have feet on the beat. So you don't have anybody at the state houses anymore like you used to reporting. You don't have bureaus like you used to have. It's one of our top trends for 2017. Fourth Estate, rest in peace. The Fourth Estate, there was the executive branch, the congressional branch, the judicial branch, and the Fourth Estate was to look over that and the major corporations as a voice of we the people. Gone. And that's why Progressive Radio News Network is so important. And that's why you need to support it and put your money where your mouth is. Because you can see where this is going. The propaganda works. And that's all the media has become. Propaganda. One little lie after another. It works. The Americans' views of Russians now, it's like 82% negative. More Americans see Russia as a threat. The Reuters opinion survey found that 82% view Russia as a threat to the U.S. The poll also found that Americans were more likely to see Russia as a threat than Iran, Syria, and China. What threat is Syria to the United States? Before they started this Russian is hacking lie, and there is absolutely no proof that they hacked, absolutely none, just quote, high confidence. That's the term they use, confidence. Confidence, C-O-N, confidence, con man, con game. That's all they put out, confidence, no proof. No proof. Anonymous sources. So we don't have to say anything. We could write the damn story and give you nothing of any really substance to support it. So, you got it right there. Because before they did this, more Americans, or less of more Americans, saw Russia as a threat. A year ago was 76%. Go back to our trends journals, back to 2014. The Sochi Olympics was going on. And again, if you want history before it happens, you know, this isn't a sell job. We're the only ones putting it out, showing you the trends before they become trends in the mainstream media, and then telling you how to profit from them. And you can go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, and we know a lot of people have financial problems. It's only $99 a year. It's like the 29 cents a day. It's like a lot less than a cup of coffee. And if you can't afford that, there's a discount request page. Because the more people that are informed, the better opportunities we have to develop positive change. Because as I say, or not as I say, but as Samuel Adams said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. So you go back to our 2013, 2014 trends journals leading into the Sochi Olympics, the propaganda being spewed by the mainstream media. Don't go to Sochi. Yeah, they got them Black Widow bombers all over the place, and you're not going to be safe there. And don't take that aeroplane. No, you remember them toothpaste bombs. Yeah, toothpaste bombs. By the time the Sochi Olympics started, Americans had the lowest rating of Russia since 1990s, thanks to the propaganda. Thanks to the New York slime. The toilet paper of record, with their arrogant lying attitude and outright propaganda, we underline the propaganda words that they use. It's part of a trend tracking system, by the way. Language means a lot, but you're not going to have to worry about that anymore because, quote, the primary role is going to be those visual experts playing a primary role in covering some of their stories. It's going to be harder and harder to get fresh, clean, new information. And very important that we get it and stay on top of the trends and ahead of the news. And, of course, you can get it from the Trends Journal. You know, there was a study that came out. It was very upsetting. And this is, I would suggest, the Gary Null type of progressive radio network important story. And that is that they found out that these people that are on food stamps, $74 billion program, $74 billion, and they get $256. The average household receives about $256 in monthly benefits. That's not chump change. You ready? They spend more on soft drinks than any other item. The findings show that the number one purchase by SNAP households are soft drinks, which accounted for about 10% of the dollars they spent on food and snacks and all this other stuff. I say, this is our money. Oh, no, we can't tell them what they have to buy because then we're going to hurt their feelings. That's the crap that they give out. The reality is, and this is from a guy like myself that's been on the other side, these little slime balls in the FDA and the rest, they're bought off. The lobbyists for the Soft Drink Association and the soft drink companies buy off the little politicians and their little bureaucratic flunkies with a line of a crap. Oh, we can't tell the people what to buy because they so feel so bad already taking the money and we don't want to feel them worse. So we can't tell them what to buy. Yes, you can, Jack. It's my dough. Oh, you're asking me to give you money to eat? Sure, I'll help. This is what I want you to buy. No, you can't buy crap with my money. Hey, you go out and you got a job and you're working. I don't care what you do, what you spend your dough on. But if you want my money, I'll tell you what to do with it. Could you handle that? Oh, you can't? Then don't take it. 10%. This means that households that have spent 10% of its SNAP money on soda could buy at least, you ready? 22-liter bottles of orange crush soda at a Fine Fair supermarket in New York City, or about 50 cans of Sprite at a Walmart in Oakland, California. And this is the clown, the jerk from the USDA, Kevin Concannon. Yeah, Concannon. Con man cannon. BS cannon. A crap load of cannon. Quote, sweetened beverages are a common purchase in all households across America. This report raises a question for all households. Are we consuming too many sweetened beverages? Hey, jerk. It has nothing to do with it. It's my money. Could you handle that? I don't want my money giving it to other people so they could buy crap. But Concannon, con man, you're full of crap, so maybe it's okay with you. Because you read this article, and it's one excuse from this little clown after another. Concannon said that the agency had intermittent dialogue with municipalities across the country about prohibiting the purchase of sugary drinks through SNAP, but he said the agency would grant a state or city permission to do so only on the condition that it first conducted, quote, a rigorous pilot study. Ugh, I can't use curse words on this show. And offered food stamp recipients the ability to opt out of the soda restrictions. Quote, we want rigorous evaluation to see what its impact of such a policy would be, he said. Pepsi-Cola lobbied the federal government to prevent restriction on food stamp purchases in 2011, 2012, 2013, according to the Center responsible. This goes on and on and on. Coca-Cola, one after another, lobbied against the Florida bill. Concannon, con man. Anyway, that's some of today's trends this week. And again, it's up to you to make a difference, and not a phony difference, a real difference. Put your money where your mouth is. Progressive Radio Network, Trends Journal, and do your part to bring dignity and respect back to America. Thank you. This is Gerald Celente. Kella luna metsi mara mamma mimme mara dare Figgi mia kutterara mamma me pan saccia tu